Calm down, people. We got a family member coming up here. Her name is Mary O'Malley. All right. Well, not quite direct family here. Al Cole is not quite Irish, but boy, I'll tell you, she's a member of our human family, and she has a lot of synergy with what I do. Get this. She's the author of a great new book called What's in the Way is the Way. Now, what does that mean? All right. Essentially, using challenges to overcome those very challenges themselves. Striking idea here. We can do that all the time. We know that sometimes the pitfalls fall upon us. Well, you know, they don't have to break us down. They can make us stronger. We know that. You know, we have cliches sometimes that describe that. Well, this book is no cliche. This book is talking about you in the very finest way, that love orientation that I was talking about earlier, how you can know the joy of being fully here for life. Hey, we're going to ask Mary how we can be fully here. She's going to come up with great answers, and she has a wonderful foreword by, get this, Neil Donald Walsh. Neil is one of the stellar authors of our time, author of a book that everybody knows, Conversations with God. So she's coming from good stock there, and you got to love it. I want you to run to this website as we speak here. Learn more about Mary. Support what she does. Buy her new book, What's in the Way is the Way. At MaryOMalley.com. That's just one of them, MaryOMalley.com. And the more direct one for the book is WhatsInTheWayIsTheWay.com. You're going to love that too. Mary, pleasure to have you on. People of Distinction with Al Cole today. How are you doing?
So glad to be here, Al. So glad.
Yeah, this is really going to be a great show. We're going to be talking about it all. We're going to be talking about not only your book, but we're going to be talking, starting out with a little bit of Mary O'Malley as Mary O'Malley. You can introduce yourself to my listening audience right now. Tell us a little bit about your background and some of the early influences, maybe when you were growing up, that said, hey, I'm going to be a writer when I grow up and write some great books that are going to help people. Tell us a little bit about your background, Mary.
Well, I had no clue I was going to be a writer. And I think the thing that I could really say is that I was gifted with great challenges when I was growing up. Mm. And I just slipped further and further into great darkness, the kind of darkness that you don't usually live from. And everybody tried to fix me, and everybody tried to help me. And all I heard was, there's something wrong with me. And then when I was 27, a yoga teacher came into my life and taught me the power of being curious. He said, you know, there's nothing that needs to be fixed or changed or gotten rid of. Just be curious about what you are experiencing right now. And then a number of years later, I had the wonderful grace to meet and spend a fair amount of time with a man called Stephen Levine, who wrote many books about death and dying. But really, the heart of his message was how to be fully alive. And he learned this from people on their deathbed. He walked through thousands and thousands of deaths with people. And he taught me how to meet myself in my own heart. And then writing began to happen. It wasn't something I ever even imagined. It just started to happen. And I feel so blessed. This is my fourth book, and I travel the world inviting people back into the joy of being fully alive and using their challenges, whether it's their compulsions, their health, their difficult boss, their financial challenges that we all have in our life. It's about using those challenges and learning how to gather all the gifts that come, always embedded in those challenges.
Absolutely. I love that. And, hey, let's talk a little yin-yang here because you mentioned
right.
It, you know, with death. People, you got to understand something. I talk this way when I go on a little bit of my speaking engagements in the New York City area. Sometimes the best way to understand something is to understand what we perceive as its opposite. Well, what's
right.
The opposite of life? We perceive it as death. Actually, they are in synergy with each other.
Right.
Death is also a new beginning. And if we picture ourselves periodically, you know, once a month, maybe even challenge yourself once a week. Picture yourself on your deathbed. What would be your values then? You know, the things that are important to you. Now you can really straighten out the inner part of you. Sometimes we think that organic food is going to do it all. It does a large part of it, but we also have to be organic with our thinking, with our minds, and sometimes challenge ourselves into those areas that are so, so very challenge people to overcome those very challenges that would otherwise, you know, bring them down, and they can use those to positive effects. Let's talk about it here. Let's pull out some of the pages of What's in the Way is the Way. When you wrote that book, of course, you were talking about your life. Most books are partly autobiographical.
Oh, right, yes.
But you had a lot of people who you've known in your life who walked that same path. Give us some of the pages here, and What's in the Way is the Way. Give us some of that wisdom right now, Mary.
Well, it's the understanding that we all have challenges. You know, and we have a tendency to think that a good life is getting rid of the challenges, that light is good and dark is bad. I mean, it's all over, you know, the world. And we go to the yin and yang symbol, and the yin and yang symbol is not, there's not dark and light on the opposite side of a line. There's dark and light that are actually nestled together. And in the point of light, in the light side is a point of dark, and in the dark side is the point of light. And in every great myth of the world, you know, when the hero or the heroine is going out to get the Holy Grail or the princess or the prince or whatever, it's not lying down by the side of the road. You know, the journeyer has to go to the places that they most don't want to go. But there's ways that you can go to the places that these challenges bring up in our life, like fear and fear of the future, or shame, you know, oh my God, I did it wrong, or despair, there's no way out. I lived all of those for years, and now every once in a while they'll arise, but they pass right through me because I learned to do what I call look to unhook. And I've worked with people for 30 years now, and I've been able to see into the minds and hearts of thousands of people. And when they learn this way of turning towards and being curious about what the challenges bring up inside of you, they all have said, God, this makes so much sense. And yet they needed support. And that's why I wrote this book and why there's a 10-week process in it to learn how to look to unhook, so you can gather all the gifts in every single challenge that life brings you. Because the challenges are for you. And we experience in them as something that is happening to us rather than for us.
Absolutely. I love it. You know, I'm going to add something here, too, to what Mary has been saying. And this goes out to you, people, my listening audience right now. Mary is talking a lot of sense. You got to listen to her in terms of, you know, what's in the way. Might look like it's in the way, but boy, that is part of the way. That's part of your quote-unquote salvation here. And even in your lowest points, now this is pivotal, and I know that Mary's going to agree with this. Even in your lowest points, you can elevate yourself, not just within your own will power, but also in the power to serve others.
Oh, yes.
When you think of yourself as, you know, that low ebb, think of, you know, we always know there's somebody lower on that totem pole. Well, not only somebody lower, but somebody higher, somebody, you know, we don't even have to think of it that way as gradations. We just think that there are other human beings around who are kindred spirits. And once we open up our energy, you know, getting that love energy, we attract some of these people to us. When we attract some of these people to us who need to hear our message and we give our message out, we're serving them in ways that now they reciprocate and they give us the beautiful energy that they're receiving from us too. We lift ourselves up. Is that making some sense there, Mary?
Oh, absolutely. And we need to learn how to trust these challenges. Most people think that the challenges come because they did something wrong or somebody else did something wrong, or it's karmic retribution from a past life, or God fell asleep on the job, or God is punishing you.
Yeah.
And yet, we can look at this in a different way, because when you're that victim, when it's happening to you, you can't start being curious about what life is offering you there. And one of the things that I have done for years is that when one of these very dark states that I lived in for years, and, you know, they're a part of me, they're quiet most all the time, but they do wake up at times, but they pass right through me. And part of it is getting curious about it. But the other part of it is to know that at that moment, there are probably millions of people on this planet that are experiencing that same exact thing.
Absolutely.
And what that wakes up inside of me is the sense of, oh my God, this is not just my darkness, it's our darkness. And then I have this urge, well, can I meet this? It's like that for everybody, like that no way out place. Can I meet this for the children that are sold into sexual slavery in Calcutta that right now are sleeping on the street? Can I stand with this state of unconsciousness that blocks the love that you talked about at the beginning of this interview? That's who we are. That is what is really happening here. And it's like we have this cloud bank around our head that we do not recognize that, and we go to war with the dark side and so we don't gather the gifts that can bring us back to this field of love that we are and life is.
Isn't this? Whoa! You know, Mary's spocking me, people. Are you hearing this? Mary's talking about, she's going outside of just what we usually consider to be the quote-unquote spiritual realm. No, no. She's talking about those kids in Calcutta. She's talking about human slavery. She's talking about, you know, she even mentioned the word war. She didn't mention it in necessarily this context. But, you know, there's war all around. Our human history is full of it, mostly war. And, you know, these things don't have to happen that way, people.
No.
When you have a spiritual sense the way that Mary has, when you are serving other people through overcoming some of the challenges in your own life, you can help people overcome challenges. Why? Because we're all part of that human family, and we need to be socially active as well. We are our brothers and sisters keepers in a very elemental way in this world, and Mary knows that, and boy, I love this.
I
want you to run to this website if you love it too, people, and I know you do. I want you to order this great new book, What's in the Way is the Way.com. Check it out, www.whatsintheway.com. And while you're at it, you can also go to Mary's other website and learn all of the beautiful things that this lady is doing, maryomalley.com. That's www.maryomalley.com. I'm going to turn some more pages here in your great book with that 10-week process that you talked about a few minutes ago. Expand on that a little bit. What is this 10-week process, Mary?
Well, I love to show people that they at one time were at one with life when they were very young. There was a time there was no thoughts in our head. Most people go, oh my God, that's such an amazing thing. And now we have 65,000 thoughts a day. That comes from Deepak Chopra. And I add that most of them are repeats from the day before. And that's like a cloud bank around our head. And we don't recognize that we experience life as a thought rather than the living experience of it. And I'm not putting thought down. It only took the universe 13.8 billion years to figure out how to make it. And it's an exquisite tool for maneuvering through reality, but it is not reality itself. And so we need to learn how to use thought rather than to be lost in thought. And I love the wonderful statement from Alan Watts, the Zen philosopher, that said, no matter how many times you say the word water, it will never be wet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we long for the wetness of life, but our attention, it's like a muscle. and it's gotten flaccid. It's weak. It just tumbles from one thought to another. And if thought says, I'm really sad, we think we're sad. And if thought says, we're really mad, we think we're mad. And so I start with 5 minutes a day with some really wonderful little techniques to learn how to become curious about the actual living experience of life again. And then as we move through it and add like a minute a week, then you begin to learn how to open your heart, because they now know that the heart is the main brain. We have three brains, the abdominal brain, the heart brain, and this head brain. And when we were very young, we left our body. We shut down this abdominal brain. We shut down the heart brain. It wasn't safe for them to be fully on board because we were not here. We were in our heads. And it's just, it was such a phenomenal time in my life where my heart began to open again. And it's like you were talking about earlier, you know, oh my God, to go out there and really be love. Well, it starts right here. And I hated myself so much that I tried to kill myself three times. And the last time I slipped my wrist and decided that I was the worst person on the face of the planet because I was even a failure at suicide. And now every single part of me lives in my heart. So now I can be open to life. And that's what we all long for. We long for this love affair with ourselves and with life. So it's a 10-week process to help develop the muscle of curiosity and the muscle of your heart.
I love, the muscle of curiosity.
Yeah.
Isn't that a beautiful way to put it? Because we have to flex that. We have to develop it. Just like, you know, as we develop our body and exercise, we develop that beautiful spirit within us through exercising that way. And, you know, I'm hearkening back to what you said about Alan Watts. He's always been one of my favorites. No matter how many times you think or say the word water, it will never become wet. Hey, now I'm going to throw something out here. To you and my listeners, and I can say it pretty quickly, this is how beautiful we are, people. You know, this is something that maybe Alan Watts had said at one point. It goes right with that same thing. Water is never wet, just, you know, within our thoughts or within,
exactly,
you know, just our saying it. Imagine this, people. A Martian comes down here on Earth. Okay, let's assume that Martians don't eat. I don't know. I mean, we can assume anything, because if we're assuming Martians to begin with, we can attribute anything to them. So Martians don't eat. And a Martian comes down, he shakes your hand, he says, hey, how are you doing? I'm a Martian. And, you know, after you get over a little bit of the fright, you become friends with this person. And this person says, oh, so human beings eat, huh? We love the taste of food. People, you can stop right there as far as your greatness, but of course it never just stops there. Do you realize that you have the great advantage of being able to taste food? Just as one example, you can taste that beauty, and you can't describe it to anybody. You could never, no matter how intelligent you are, no matter how intelligent that Martian is, and how advanced their psychology and their science might be, they can never understand, they can never taste food just through your words. You don't even need a word to taste whatever you want to eat, and hopefully it's organic. You don't need any words. It's innate in you. It's inborn.
Yes.
You
yes.
are just there. Your senses are so marvelously put together that sometimes you just take it for granted. If you didn't take it for granted, you would realize how much of a genius you are as a human functioning being. Whoa. Is that on the right track there, Mario Melli?
Oh, that is on the right track, Al. And to me, human beings have been created, and if we had a long time, we could talk about evolution, which I absolutely love, but we were created as this place that can sense life, that can celebrate life, that can write poetry about life, that can sing about life. And most people run around with this cloud bag around their head, and so they don't really taste their food. I do a food meditation in my workshops and in my long retreat streets, and people just get so turned on. It's like I take a grape and I help them see that this was made out of stardust, and it took all the creativity that's ever been to make this grape, you know, including the guy, you know, how many years ago that was walking through the woods with his buddy, and they came across this new plant, and they said, I wonder if that's edible. And he says, why don't you try it? And the other guy says, no, you try it. Well, you know, we need to thank that guy, the first person that ate something that was the forerunner of our grapes. And people, I mean, people light up when I have them just see this grape and put it in their mouth without biting into it, and then being fully there and bite into it. And people are just alive like children afterwards. They said, oh, my God, I haven't tasted a grape for years. That's the gift that we have to give as we clear the cloud bank. And the challenges of our life are here, not because we've done something wrong, but so we can see the constructs of our cloud bank, how fear runs us, how shame runs us, how loneliness and despair and irritation run us, so that we can look to unhook, so we can thin the cloud bank and come back to the joy of being fully alive, which includes now trusting the process.
Mm.
All of it.
Trusting the process.
Absolutely. All of it.
Yeah. What that is super strong. We're listening to Marvelous Lady here, and she's just making everything work for us on People of Distinction with Al Cole. Mary O'Malley, special guest. You're going to love the lady. You're going to love the book. And the book is called What's in the Way is the Way. And we're describing it in a way that I know you're going to want to order this book. Go to that website. It's named the same thing, whatsintheway.com, www.whatsintheway.com. Order this great new book. And you can also check out her other website, and it has her namesake, maryomelly.com, www.maryomelly.com. You know, I know my listeners are asking this question right now. We can't hear them, but boy, I can hear them in the inside. And they're talking about challenges right now, and they're saying, whoa, Mary is spot on with this, overcoming challenges by using those very challenges in one's life to overcome. Now, you have, of course, overcome challenges in your life. With your book, give us a short story here. Somebody who reached out to you, maybe bought the book, maybe there's an example in the book, or maybe it's just in your own everyday life where you reached out to somebody and the challenge seemed to be insuperable at the time. Oh, I can't overcome this one. In fact, you know, they were at death's door maybe, but through your beautiful human energy and your love energy, you were able to get them to the light and have them overcome. Give us that example from your book or from your life, somebody that you really helped in that way to overcome seemingly an insuperable challenge.
Oh, my goodness, Al, so many, because I think part of it is that they recognize that I've been exactly where they are. When people come to me that are in that, what I call the no way out place, or I oftentimes describe it as helpless, hopeless despair. But I know that that place is a doorway rather than a death sentence. And I'm thinking about a woman that was really getting very, very ill, and her husband, you know, had divorced her, and she was getting ready. She was afraid that she was going to lose her house, and she was just beside herself. And so the two things I did with her at the beginning was just listen to her story, receive her, but receive her in that space that absolutely trusts her process. There was no emergency there, none in the energy that was filling up that room as I was giving her my attention. And she was at that time really wound up. So we spent a couple of sessions just working with her breath. And as she began to calm down, it began to make sense to her that she wasn't here because she had done something wrong, that there was something that was asking to be healed inside of her. I love to say that we were all hit with a bomb full of shrapnel of our parents' conditioning when we were young, at a time when we had no choice but to take it on. We just absorbed it, you know, like a dry sponge. And they took it on from their parents and so on and so forth, you know, down through the eons. And as I began to just shift her perception from, I am a victim and this is happening because they did it wrong and I did it wrong, and she began to become curious about what she was actually experiencing. First of all, it was anger. It was very fascinating to her because she said, before I started working with you, I wouldn't say that I had anger in me at all. Well, everybody has anger in them, but we're very good at stuffing it. And so we began to meet the anger inside of her. And that's, rather than using the word overcome, I love to use the word meet and gather the gifts in the challenges. Mm-hmm. And as she began to befriend anger and saw that it was a protective mechanism that was taking care of a deep fear, and as she learned how to turn towards and be curious about fear, which was a thing she had never been taught before. I had not been taught it, you know, until I met Stephen Levine. Then there was this deep, deep sadness and loneliness that had probably been there most of her life, that had run her from underneath her everyday awareness and caused her to act in ways that both harmed herself and pushed other people away. And sure enough, as she began to be able to open and meet and give attention, just like I had been giving attention to her, to this deep loneliness and despair inside of her, she began to bloom like a flower. And this was years ago, and every once in a while she just still checks in with me. And her life is wonderful. She's healthy again. She has a new boyfriend and is very excited about living her life now, mainly because she went through this passage, but also because she now really trusts the challenges of her life. And there's a wonderful quote, I wish I had it with me, by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who was the first person to bring death and dying out of the closet, and she is now passed, but it's something along this line. The most beautiful people we know are the people that have suffered, that they have known defeat, that they have known loss, that beautiful people do not just happen. There's something that happens when we are given these challenges. And I think the line was the people that have learned how to come out of that darkness, and I would say bearing the gifts that the darkness has given to you.
Mm. What beautiful words there. And again, you know, you got it right when you're talking about fear. We are a fear-based society here. We should be a love-based society, but we know that fear, in so many cases, is what we're really battling. And, you know, fear is in itself. And the biggest fear is the fear of rejection.
Right.
If we understand that we can't be rejected unless we reject ourselves first. Now, if we reject ourselves, then, you know, the world comes after us and we're defenseless. And now we are open to everybody else rejecting us. And then we suffer the slings and arrows, as Shakespeare said, of outrageous misfortune at that time. Because we had not the confidence in our beautiful, beautiful human nature to accept that that we have nothing to fear.
Right.
We accept ourselves fully and know that we, hey, look, I'm an eternal creation here. You can't beat me. Now, we go out into the world with renewed armor and we say to the world, we don't challenge the world at that point. We love the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
And we have the consciousness now to have the courage to bring fear and other people's problems into our own consciousness, and now we deal with it just the way that Mary was saying. We're no longer enemies. We saw
Absolutely.
The enemy on the inside, and that enemy is no longer fearful to us. We don't have to fear, and we can now help other people with their fear. What a great message here. Mary O'Malley, special guest on People of Distinction with Al Cole. What's in the way is the way. All right. We love that title. And if you love it, too, I want you to order that book. It's this website, same namesake here, whatsintheway.com. And also, check out her other website, maryomalley.com. Mary, we have just a few minutes left, a couple of minutes left in this great show here. I want to take it out with some possibility thinking. And you can reflect in any way that you want. Let's say, all right, we're going to posit it this way. Everybody is in the mindset, all of a sudden, of Mary O'Malley. And Mary O'Malley is in the universal mindset that is endemic in everybody, whether they know it or not. But once we actually reach that point of, let's say, epiphany, where we know that we don't have anything to fear, where we know that what's in the way is the way, what kind of world could we have? Possibilities here. Draw, you know, inspire us with some of the beautiful possibilities that could be in store for us worldwide. How would it change our way of dealing with other human beings within the world purview and scope?
Oh, dramatically. And I think that we have to, you know, look at the broad perspective that that we are very young as a species, and we've crawled into this world of fear. And the acronym for fear is fake evidence appearing as real, F-E-A-R. And there's a chapter in this book called Fear, Nothing to Be Afraid Of. And if people aren't interested in getting the book, tell them to email me. They'll find the email on the website. And I will send them just that chapter, because this is the most important thing that we can do for our beleaguered world right now, is to begin to look at and heal the fear inside of us. And I have an armchair up on the moon, a number of armchairs, so people can come up and sit with me. And it's a wonderful view, and there is this blue-green jewel of our planet, and so creative. I mean, it has everything from aardvarks to baby dolphins to icebergs to jungles full of parrots. And when you look at it and you just allow your heart to be just so moved by the immense creativity of our planet, you see that this two-legged creature called human beings, they walk around with a cloud bank around their head. Most of them do. So they are not here for life. So they can harm themselves and harm other people in ways that break your heart. And all you have to do is look at the evening news, and you can see, you know, where fear has gotten us. But now, see more and more of those people thinning that cloud bank. See more and more people actually stepping out of the cloud bank and showing up for life, both the 10,000 joys and the 10,000 sorrows, knowing that it is all for them. You are a different presence in the world. And yes, you can go out and make a difference, you know, volunteer here and volunteer there. But I also believe that one of the most important things we can do for this planet is to be this aware heart, so that even when you're in the grocery store or you're in stop-and-go rush hour traffic, you're in line at the post office, you are here. And like you said at the beginning, that this love actually radiates. Love is our essence. And you can send that out into the world. You can make a difference in the grocery store clerk's life by just being there. To me, that's the most important volunteer work we can do. And that will change the evolution of our planet.
Oh, boy. Beautiful words there. And the words match the book, too. What's in the Way is the Way, a book of supreme wisdom here, and you're going to love it. I want you to read that book, and to read it, I want you to order it at this website, whatsintheway.com. is the way. Again, www.whatsintheway.com. You're going to love it. And Mary O'Malley is the author, so you know you got to go to this website too. MaryO'Malley.com. That's www.MaryO'Malley.com. Mary, this has really been my pleasure and honor to have you on People of Distinction today with Al Cole. You're invited back at any point with updates on the great work that you're doing. Thank you so much, Mary, for gracing the People of Distinction with Al Cole stage today.
Oh, Al, you're fabulous. Oh, you are fabulous. I mean, but, you know, the two of us are a great team. It was just it's just this flow, and it really got to the heart of the book. It just, wow, the heart of this message.
Hey, it's author, musician, singer Al Cole from a CBS radio background, now to host of the syndicated talk show People of Distinction, a show that brings to light a stunning new concept, celebrity inspirational interviews, giving high-profile guests the chance to talk not only about what everybody knows about them, their great professional achievements, but also the secrets that very few know about them, their real heart and soul human values, the values that link them closely to the core of our human family. Because celebrities are human beings, people, and we are all people of distinction. And when given the chance, we will all speak openly about the very reason for our birth, the energy and dedication of what we call love. Hey, I'm also the author of the exciting new book, The Spirit of Romance. Hey, at last a book that defines romance as the loving relationship that we all enter into with life itself. Woo there, men-women relationships in the backdrop of beautiful universal energy, too. Happy to say that my book, The Spirit of Romance, is now available on Amazon and Kindle, and I'd like to thank all of my alcoholics who have bought it and also benefited from it, too. That's The Spirit of Romance by Al Cole, now available on Amazon and Kindle. Thousands and thousands of women, guys too, listen to my talk shows, People of Distinction, every week, and they contact me with their questions, reflections, and comments at alcoholic@gmail.com. You heard me right there. That's alcoholic@gmail.com. So until next time, people, wish you peace, awareness, romance, and mostly love.